Interact Online with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Sabine, welcome to the 53rd episode of Robots. Today I'll be bringing you to MIT, literally, since I was at the media lab over there visiting the personal robots group where one of my friends works, Sonia Chernova. It turns out that Sonia was my TA when I was at CMU. She was the TA of the IBO class. And that's why I pretty much got into robotics, because then I worked on the RoboCup team, the IBO RoboCup team, which she was working on as well. And in parallel to working on this team, she was also doing her thesis on confidence-based robot policy learning from demonstration. So after CMU, she went on to MIT, where I had the chance to meet up with her. Over there, she's working with Cynthia Brazil on how to create good human-robot teams with her online game Mars Escape, which we mentioned in the news a couple weeks back. The game is intended to gather lots of data about the way humans and robots work together in a space-type mission. The interesting thing is that lessons which are learned from this online study are going to be used in a real robot and demonstrated at the Boston Museum of Science. People will be able to interact with this robot like they do in the online game. After speaking with Sonia, we're going to be speaking with Kenton Williams, which we managed to catch at the Media Lab. He's currently doing his thesis on the beautiful Nexi robot, which is used in the Mars Escape project, and he'll be telling us a bit more about the technicalities behind the beautiful face. So just one more thing, we were actually surrounded by tons of crazy expressive robots at the Media Lab, like the Huggable, which is a sort of teddy bear, Leonardo, which is a creature, Tofu's also a sort of creature. So don't blame me, you know, if I'm a bit nervous with all these robots staring at me. Okay, but first, let's go to Christine with the latest news in robotics.
Thanks, Sabine. It's been about a year since we reported on a study that predicted that telepresence robots would overtake the robot toy market by 2015. Now, telerobotics is finally moving, with two telepresence robots developed by two California-based companies grabbing the headlines. Robot company AnyBot has just unveiled its telepresence robot QB, and company Willow Garage, which many of you may know for the development of the PR2 robot and the open-source robot operating system ROS, is thinking more openly about selling their Texi robot. Online reviews of the two robots sound promising, with both robots featuring simple user interfaces that allow you to remote control your robot alter ego and to easily interact with co-workers. AnyBot's QB robot will go on sale this fall for around $15,000. No word yet on availability and price of Willow Garage's Texi. In a surprising move, Microsoft has announced that its Robotics Developer Studio, or RDS, is now available to anyone for free. The big package of programming and simulation tools for robotics has previously been available in three different versions with various limitations and costs. By offering its new release with all capabilities bundled at no cost, Microsoft hopes to grab a share of the robotics software market. Microsoft's announcement follows a move by French company Gostai to make their URBI software available for free and the success of Willow Garage's open-source robot operating system, ROS. For more information on telepresence robots and Microsoft's free RDS, visit our forum at www.robotspodcast.com/forum.
Thanks. Let's now go to Sonia Chernova's office at the MIT Media Lab, where she tells us about creating good human-robot teams by gathering tons of data from people playing Mars Escape, an online game developed just for that purpose. Hi, Sonia. Welcome to Robots.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
What are you interested in human-robot interactions?
I'm interested in human-robot interaction because, the long-term goal of a lot of robotics is to have robots that operate in human environments that assist people, whether at the home or at work. And so it's very important to study how can robots relate to people, how can they interact with and take cues from people in a very natural way, in a non-threatening way, and so on. Because this is really about making robots ubiquitous, becoming a part of our everyday lives.
And what do you think are the challenges in doing this?
There are a lot of challenges purely from a hardware standpoint, both in terms of the embodiment of the robot, the way the robots look, the way they are built and are able to act and move. But there are also a lot of challenges within AI as far as how do you have them perceive human intention, human social cues. So when we have certain intonations in our speech, our voice, certain words we use, and also in addition to just sensing those things, to actually for the robots to perform their own social cues so that people understand the robot's intentions in the same similar natural way that's natural for humans.
You've been working on MarsEscape to sort of understand how human and robots can interact. What is the goal of MarsEscape?
The goal of MarsEscape is to study how humans perform collaborative tasks. So how do they work together, act as a team when you have more than one person? And this is a very challenging problem. In the long term, we envision robots as part of a community of, so say in a family, a robot assistant that acts as part of the team. They assist you in a very seamless way, whether it's with cleaning up the house or at work with some sort of delivery tasks and so on. And more immediately, you know, that's looking into the future. More immediately, NASA, for example, is looking at how do you have an astronaut work together with a robot on spacewalks, because these are very dangerous environments. You don't want to endanger people. And having a robot assistant replace one of the astronauts in this dangerous environment would be highly beneficial. So there are a lot of both immediate and long-term applications for having robots perform as part of a team. The challenge is how do you develop natural behaviors for teaming for robots? And so we're interested in looking at human data to give us cues on how this should be done. The challenge there, as far as looking at people, is having enough examples. So bringing the traditional way to study human collaboration or human subjects is to bring people into the lab, to invite them to come participate in a user study and have them perform a task in a lab environment, and you study how they do something. This will usually allow you to study maybe 30, 40 people, but what we're interested in is studying humans at a larger scale. How do we study the behavior of more people and gather more data in an easy way? And so the idea behind MarsEscape, which is our game, is to use the internet to gather data from as many people as possible. So we've created an online game where people can log in and anonymously play a game with some other person. So you're paired together with another player and you have to do our example task. And we are interested in the way people, what actions they choose to perform the task. We're interested in the dialogue that occurs between the players when they, you know, how do they coordinate their actions and so on. And that what that allows us to do is to gather data that we can then use to develop robots that are able to do similar tasks with a human partner.
I like this idea of team. It sort of brings the robot to the level of the human compared to having something which is teleoperated. What is your take on this?
So teleoperated robots are useful in a large number of situations where we may not have the right degree of autonomy, or we really want to be able to have a great control over the precise actions and behaviors of our robots. But robots are very complex, especially humanoid robots, for example. Teleoperation is actually a very difficult problem in itself, but also increasing autonomy increases the productivity, because then you don't need to have, you know, a person always controlling the robot. I think the long-term goal of a lot of robotics is to have either autonomy or partial autonomy for a lot of systems. Autonomy doesn't necessarily mean that the robot always makes all of its own decisions. Robots are operating at all times in human environments. There's always a person that the robot could ask for help from, Could always say, I don't know what to do, which would, you know, can you guide me, advice, give me advice, or even switch back to teleoperation for some period of time. So these are ideas of mixed autonomy or partial autonomy, also sometimes called sliding autonomy. So the idea that autonomy is not a permanent state, but something the robot can enter and leave at different times depending on what's appropriate.
And I guess that makes sense for a real team partnership, huh?
Exactly. And that's really how people operate in a lot of environments. We're not always doing things ourselves. We ask for help from our teammates. And this is really what we're looking for with robots.
Okay, back to Mars Escape. So what kind of tasks can these human robots do?
So in Mars Escape, we have created a game where we have a robot partner and a human partner. And because our long-term goal is to validate the study in the real world with our autonomous robot Nexie, the physical abilities of the robot in the virtual game are a mirror of the physical abilities of our real robot in the real world. And so what the robot's able to do at the moment is navigate the environment to pick up certain objects and also to analyze them using a somewhat made-up special sensor that allows it to detect organic matter.
So basically in Mars Escape, can you walk us through a typical scenario that a human player would have to do?
Sure. So when a player logs in, so the first thing you have to do is do a tutorial on how to play the game. But once you actually begin the game, you enter the world, which is a small research station on Mars. The idea, the kind of little backstory of the game is that the robot and an astronaut are in a research station on Mars. Their oxygen generator has broken and they have a very limited amount of time to get back to the spaceship, and they would like to salvage some of the critical items from their mission in order to bring them back to the ship. So they have five items that the players have to retrieve from the environment. They have to gather them together and then exit in order to get back to the ship before oxygen runs out. And so the two players have slightly complementary abilities and different abilities. The human is faster in its motion, which is typical of the current robots that we have for the most part, is autonomous robots that navigate at this point in time tend to be a little bit slower than humans. Humans are also taller and are able to climb on things better than a wheeled robot. But the robot also has special abilities that the human does not have, such as a special sensor to detect organic matter in different objects that it can use to find alien life forms, for example, and things like that.
And you mentioned dialogue before. How does dialogue enter the picture?
So dialogue is a very fundamental part of teamwork, both to convey your intentions and what you're going to do, for problem solving, and a variety of other tasks. And so what we're interested in studying is not only the actions that the two players perform, but also the dialogue. How do they talk to each other? How do they synchronize their actions? How do they do task assignment, meaning, you know, how do they decide who does what part of the problem? And when they're confused, how do they figure out what the solution to their problem is? And so in addition to the actions, we are recording what the players type to each other. At the moment, we're looking at just typed text, but we're also planning to study spoken dialogue and allow the game to be played using a headset, because that dialogue will be a little bit different. But dialogue, our hypothesis is that it's very important in order to have teamwork that's, you know, as strong as possible, as effective as possible as at performing the task.
Do you have some language processing in the system?
At the moment, we do not have language processing, but we are working on adding speech recognition that would allow a person to simply use a microphone, which in itself is a difficult computer science problem because the speech can be very varied in this game. So there can be a large number of topics that people could decide to talk about.
So once you have all this data, how do you intend on using it, basically?
So once we gather data, and we currently have data from about 600 players, which is, of course, a lot more than we could have done in a lab setting. The idea is to use this data to develop an autonomous behavior for the robot. So we're going to look at all the actions performed by the players who play the robot avatar, and use those actions and that dialogue to create a data set of representative actions that the robot should take in the real world. And of course, those are not independent of what the human avatar is doing. So there's a lot of learning that we have to do, a lot of data processing to figure out a model that says, can tell the robot what actions it should take, what dialogue it should perform in a variety of situations. And the reason we're interested in data from so many people, and we're hoping, to have hundreds and thousands of people, is because dialogue and interactions are so varied. And so the larger the data corpus, the more robust our behaviors can be, because you can basically look up your current situation, compare it to that history that you have of past interactions, and say, well, I don't have anything exactly like this, but I have this other very similar situation I've seen in the past that you can adapt and recreate and use dialogue from. So we're using this data corpus as the source for generating future behaviors for the robot.
Can you give us an example of some dialogues people are using in the game?
Yeah, so the dialogue in the game is can be quite hilarious at times. There are people who come in and they take their role of the robot to a somewhat sort of comedic and funny level, where they try to beep and and use kind of robot-like language that they've seen from the movies, whereas other people just act like themselves and perform dialogue that would be more standard in a human environment. Generally, they talk about, you go get this object, I will do this. Okay, come over here, help me with this. And so most of the dialogue is focused on the task, and they're mostly doing task assignment, or sometimes they ask questions, is there anything else I can help with, or how do I get this object? I have no idea. Because what we have is a mixture of players. Sometimes we have novice players, sometimes we have players who have been through the game a few times, and so the degree of expertise varies.
Do you already have an idea on what learning algorithm you're going to use?
We have a little bit of an idea. We're hoping to use temporal plan networks, so the idea that we can have certain goals that we can plan for, and what temporal plan networks allow us to do is to reason about variability in the temporal variability in human actions. So some action might take less time than one time you do it than another. The ordering of actions might be different. This allows you to plan for goals that you're trying to achieve in different ways of achieving certain goals. You might assign some part of the task for the robot to do versus a human. Next time you may assign the task assignment differently. It's a very flexible way of representing the teaming aspect of this problem. Of course, we're looking at it at a very large scale with a large number of actions and options. So we'll be seeing how to adapt existing algorithms to such a large scale system.
You mentioned trying this out with real people and real robots. So how do you plan on validating your results, basically?
So once we've gathered the results, our first step in the validation will be to generate autonomous behavior for our virtual avatar. So create a behavior model to then use it as an AI that people can play with simply in the same online world. And then our final validation stage is to actually recreate the exact game environment in the real world at the Boston Museum of Science, and to bring in our robot, which is the MDS robot Nexi, which stands for Mobile Dexterous and Social. That's about 4 feet tall mobile robot, looks very similar to the robot in the game. And we will invite one museum visitor at a time to come into the space and perform the task with the real robot. And part of the validation is we have a survey that people fill out at the end of performing the game or the real world task, and we're interested in seeing how people's experiences in the game in real life versus in the online game compare in terms of teamwork and interaction and things like that.
More generally, how do you see the future of HRI? Or if, let's start with this project. How do you see the future of this project?
Well, I think this project is certainly at the very beginning right now. We're looking at somewhat of a pilot study of where we can take this line of research. This is one of the first robotics experiments that looks at using online data of social interaction to power robot behaviors in the real world. We're just seeing how can you transfer the data you get in an online environment to the physical world. Can you transfer it? Does it even work? If we are successful, which we hope to be, then this opens the opportunity for a lot richer interactions that we could study. Our avatars in the current game are fairly simplistic in the sense that they cannot perform gestures, they do not speak, you don't hear the actual intonation of the voice of the other character, you just see, you know, the typed text and things like that. If we make this interaction richer, are we able to study more social aspects of the interaction, not simply just the actions that two people take, but more of the social cues that they need to express and things like that. And so there's a lot of future research looking at making this interaction much more social, much more multimodal, and much richer.
And more general in HRI?
I think HRI is an actively growing field. It'll be growing tremendously in the next few years and decades, increasingly as robots enter human environments, and not just specialized factories where robots have been used for years in manufacturing, but as they enter everyday environments, interaction with humans becomes very important in many aspects, both from learning from humans, so being able to, for a lay person to just come and teach a robot how to do something new, but also just natural interaction where the robot is not necessarily learning something, but is interacting with a person in a natural way that's intuitive to people and follows the social norms that people have within our community.
Thanks, Sonia, for being here with us on Robots.
Thank you.
As you heard, lessons learned from Mars Escape will be implemented on the Nexi robot at the Boston Museum of Science. Luckily, Kenton Williams, who is currently doing his PhD, was around to tell us more about the technical aspects of this beautiful robot. Hi, Kenton. Welcome to Robots.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Good.
Tell us a bit about the Nexi. What type of robot is it?
Yeah, so Nexi is in a class of robots called MDS, which stands for Mobile, Dexterous, and Social. So they're mobile because they have a nice wheeled base. They can move around and navigate the environment and avoid obstacles. They're dexterous because they have humanoid hands, four-fingered end effectors. They can manipulate objects, pick things up. And they're social because they have a really expressive face that's almost humanoid. It really sort of gives you the impression that you're interacting with not just a machine, but almost a person. So that's one of the sort of ways that sets the robot apart from other robots out there.
What kind of size are we talking about?
Yeah, so Nexi is actually about 4 feet tall, and that's intentional by design. So we don't want the robot to be too tall where it's almost like a real human person, because we don't want it to be intimidating for people. So it has a really big head and has big eyes, and that's so that the robot can be almost baby-like in a sense, so that people feel more comfortable with it, interacting with it, and it's not sort of intimidating and threatening.
And what aspects of Nexi do you work on?
So my background is in mechanical engineering. So I work on a lot of the hardware components of the robot. My thesis itself, though, is a little different. So I'm looking at how you can teach the robot physics. So if a robot is meant to interact with people in a natural environment, then the robot should know about basic principles like gravity and mass and weight. And so I'm trying to teach Nexi different techniques that will allow it to sort of use these physics principles in order to work with a human and complete a task.
That's pretty cool. How does it work? Is it vision? Does it calculate trajectories and things like that?
Yeah, so right now, the sort of scenario that I'm looking at is how can a robot work with a human in sort of a placing objects in a seesaw scenario? So let's say if I were a human and I placed one size ball in a seesaw bin, and then next he would have to sort of figure out, well, what sort of object would I need to sort of balance out the seesaw? Do I need an object that is the same size, a bigger size, a smaller size? So that brings into the scenario these ideas of physics and these principles.
Let's look at the technical aspects. What kind of sensors and actuators you have on there?
Yeah, so Nexi has a ton of sensing abilities right now. So the vision, we have two 3D stereo cameras in the eyes, which are just basically similar to the way humans see the world. There's also a third sensor. There's a Swiss Ranger camera in the head, and this is just a distance sensor. So it sends out these infrared signals, and based on how long it takes to get those signals back, that'll tell the robot which objects are sort of closest to its in its proximity. Yeah. As far as other sensors, so there's no tactile sensors in the hand. So whenever we want to do like object manipulation, we rely on our Vicon motion capture system, which is a very popular way that a lot of video game developers use that as a way to create motion, humanoid motion in characters. And so what we'll do is we'll have objects in the robots marked up in all of these little reflective dots, and then we'll use the Vicon system to sort of capture the position and orientation of the objects. So the robot knows where it is in space, and the robot knows where other objects are in space.
And actuators?
Yeah, and so actuators, there's a ton of... So Nexi has about 49, I think, degrees of freedom. So it has 49 motors that create all of the different motions. It has... essentially, the upper body from the waist up is all humanoid. So you're looking at like elbow joints, shoulder joints move very similar to the way humans do, but it has a wheeled base, so it doesn't have legs. It's the only thing.
What would you say are the most challenging parts mechanically in this robot?
Oh, man. So for me, one of the most challenging things mechanically is that the robot is actually a collaboration between our research group, the Personal Robots Group, another group called Zytome Robotics, who they design a lot of the components in the head and the hands. And then there's also another group called Digi Robotics, and they're responsible for the components of the torso and the wheelbase. And so for me, it's really difficult to sort of integrate all of these different things. Like, three different companies have different styles of what kind of motors they want, what sort of sensors they want, and so our job is really to sort of integrate those three components, and sometimes that can be a little tricky.
Must make it tricky if you're trying to plan physical motions to actually act after on these systems.
Yeah, it can be very tricky at times.
Okay, excellent, Kenton. Thanks for being with us on Robots.
Sure, thanks.
For more information on our guests and to check out the Mars Escape game, visit our website at www.robotspodcast.com. Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in 2 weeks.
Interact online with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.